This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on August 11th, 2015. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
Good morning. Welcome, everybody. The open meeting of the Federal Election Commission for Tuesday, August 11th, will come to order. We do have some late submitted documents this morning. Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move to waive the rules on the timely submission of agenda documents so that the Commission may consider the late submission of agenda document number 15-38-B, agenda document number 15-38-C, agenda document number 15-44-A, and agenda document number 15-27-B.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. The Vice Chairman has so moved. Are there any questions? If not, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Madam Secretary, that motion passes 5-0. And just to note, Commissioner Weintraub is not available today, but she may be ultimately writing in today with her votes.
Thank you.
Thank you. The first item on the agenda is agenda document 15-43A, correction and approval of the minutes. Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move approval of the minutes for the meeting of July 16, 2015, as set forth in agenda document number 15-43-A.
Thank you. Any comments, questions on the minutes? All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. Okay. That matter passes unanimously. The first item on the agenda, item two, the document 15-38A, draft advisory opinion 2015-3, Democracy Rules Incorporated. And we have Tony Buckley and Amy Rothstein from the Office of General Counsel here to discuss the matter. Mr. Buckley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I believe the requester is also on the phone for this.
The requester is present on the telephone.
Mr. Cashman.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Cashman. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, Commissioners. Agenda document 15-38-A contains a draft advisory opinion and was originally discussed at the July 11th open meeting and held over. Agenda documents 15-38-B and 15-38-C contain draft advisory opinions which incorporate supplemental material supplied by the requester, Democracy Rules Incorporated, after the July 11th meeting. Draft B concludes that the revised procedures explained in the supplemental material remove the direction and control of Democracy Rules over the choice of the recipient of a contribution. Accordingly, Draft B concludes that the proposed activity of Democracy Rules is permissible under the Act and Commission regulations. Draft C concludes that the revised procedures explained in the supplemental material still result in Democracy Rules exercising direction and control over the choice of the recipient of a contribution. Accordingly, Draft C concludes that the proposed activity of Democracy Rules is not permissible under the Act and Commission regulations. The Commission received one comment on Drafts B and C. If the Commission approves a draft, we request authorization to make any technical and conforming changes. Thank you, and I'll be happy to answer any questions you have.
Thank you very much, Mr. Buckley. Are there any questions or comments, Commissioner?
Yes, thank
Goodman.
You, Madam Chair. Mr. Cashman?
Yes, sir.
This is Commissioner Goodman again. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Mr. Goodman?
You see, I presume you have seen that there is a draft B and a draft C on the public record?
Yes, I did notice that.
And draft B is a yes draft and draft C is a no draft.
Okay.
It appears that, speaking for myself, I intend to support draft B, which is a yes draft, because you have incorporated sufficient voluntary choice of those who come to you to use and employ your service.
Yes, sir.
and inherent in all of the platforms that recommend candidates to citizens who use that service is some either subjective or objective vetting and recommendation process of the platform. It appears that the primary objection in draft C, which may have support of some commissioners, is that you do not offer to transmit a contribution to any and all federal candidates upon request of those who use your service. That you offer a vetting service, a recommendation service, a service that allows people to associate on a technological and virtual platform. But at the end of the day, draft C takes issue with the fact that you will transmit contributions solely to the candidates recommended through your presentation cycle process. That does not concern me. I'll let other commissioners speak for themselves on that issue. But I wanted to delineate for you how I see the fundamental distinctions between draft B and draft C, and that you, if you're fishing, you may consider offering to transmit contributions to all candidates upon request of those who use your service if you're fishing for more votes.
That's a good suggestion, and it's, you know, very, very, very possible to have that function incorporated into democracy rules.
You may want to heed the fact that there are two alternative drafts at the table today, and I'm sure that the chair and the commission would afford you more time to work on your submission again if you're trying to modify your request to get more votes. But I speak only for myself. I'm prepared to vote for draft B today if you prefer to go to a vote today. Thank you.
You know, given the choice, I prefer to strive to win the votes of all six commissioners. And if providing this type of a service, you know, to receive and forward contributions to all legislators, you know, that can be done. Although, obviously, the DR process is an opt-in process. It's a voluntary process, and you know, if someone does not wish to, there are many means for people to donate to legislators that of their choice. But I would be very happy to make whatever adjustments are needed to comply with the rules and to satisfy all the concerns of the commission.
Mr. Cashman, we are required today to only deal with the facts and the information that you have provided to us at this time. I'm going to ask the Office of General Counsel, before you get a drink of water, what procedure you would recommend if Mr. Cashman wishes to alter his request.
There are several ways we could go. He could submit additional supplemental material. He could withdraw his present request and submit a brand new request that compiles all the information as it stands and start anew. Those are probably the two ways that we could go from here.
May I have a question?
Thank you.
Chair?
Yes,
Mr. Buckley, just to be clear to Mr. Cashman, I take it that he could just ask to defer, to grant more time on his request to the next meeting, and supplement with a submission that addresses this issue about the ability or the provision of a service that would transmit to all federal candidates upon request of his members and users.
If the commission chooses to go that way.
I'm just saying that would be an option available to him if he's trying to satisfy six commissioners instead of, say, three commissioners.
As long as the commission is comfortable with proceeding that way, then yes, he can.
Let me ask you, Mr. Cashman, you heard there's two alternatives. Obviously, this is a commission decision, but of the two, what would your desire be?
You know, I understand how difficult it is to win four votes for an action. So I think that depending on your next meeting is, I think that I can accommodate this request by the time of your next meeting. So I think maybe the best thing to do is to, if possible, to delay a vote until I comply with this latest request.
Okay, and to provide an extension of time for the response.
Please. Yes, ma'am.
What is the will of the commission?
Madam Chair, I just...
Commissioner Goodman.
Each commissioner has the right to speak or not to speak on this. However, we have someone who's worked very hard with our Office of General Counsel and the commission. I think it might be helpful for Mr. Cashman before he goes through some Pyrrhic exercise to get some feedback that if he were to offer that service, if that would win a fourth vote of approval. And I'm not trying to put each commissioner on the spot. It just, when we have a lay requester like this who's trying so hard to adapt his innovation and his technology to our rules, I think it would behoove at least maybe Mr. Buckley to work with the commissioner's offices to, you know, in channeling some direction to Mr. Cashman, or perhaps we could do it here.
I would appreciate that very much.
I have a little, and I look to general counsel's office on this, I have a little concern about the commissioner's offices working with particular requesters to fashion a request in a way that would meet either votes or legal requirements. Mr. Adav.
Yeah, I would share that concern. I think if there are views that commissioners would like to express to the requester, this would probably be the best format to do that so that we're not put in the position of relaying them.
I appreciate that. I would just hope that Mr. Cashman can get an approval out of here.
Yeah, and for myself, I would say, Mr. Cashman, I personally would be in favor of draft C, and I think that if you read, you apparently have not had an opportunity to read draft C, but if you read draft C and the concerns that were expressed in draft C, that should give you sufficient information to be able to fashion a proposal that would not appear to provide a benefit to candidates. That's really my concern. Are there any other comments? Commissioner Walter.
I think there may have been a misunderstanding, Mr. Cashman, at the last meeting, because it would give you the impression, and probably fairly so, that the colloquy that took place between you and Mr. Goodman might have represented more people as of views than do, so that you, in order to try and make a deal, make some modifications, and I've never been part of that, and as typically we're not part of negotiating an AO. I'm a little concerned with what happened, because now you're kind of put in the spot, well, if I just do that and a couple of more commissioners will try to get a couple more votes. That isn't the way the process usually works, and we get a draft and we get a thought-out opinion, and somebody can always withdraw it. You could do that now if you like. But I think in a case like this, I'm not prepared to negotiate anything on an advisory opinion at a meeting like this. If you want to propose something different, I'm more than willing to look at it. But at this point, I'm leaning toward draft C. And, usually... the way it was set up was that we would I mean, for years, the advisory opinion would come to us for a decision, and the council would not be involved in the actual hearing. We modified that. I think I was chair that year, but the reason was, there were times when we knew that council knew an answer to something that was really more of a factual situation, and we struggled with ways to try and get the information out, and we decided that we would adopt a policy to allow council to appear and answer questions. But at the last hearing, I think it went beyond that, and it became more of a negotiating session as it is right now.
So, Mr. Buckley has been helpful, and Ms. Rothstein also. And you know, when we discussed it at the last meeting, it became apparent to me that there was a flaw in the system, and that's why we instituted a function by which, after the whole process is over, if a user does not abide by that, then he can withdraw any funds that he contributed to that particular process, that cycle. It's not so much, you know, doing one thing to secure more votes on the commission. It was more that, and also the fact that it made a lot of sense that someone may, like one of our trustee candidates, a recipient, and if that vote does not go his way, then he's sort of forced to contribute funds to someone he didn't specifically want to, even though it's an opt-in process. So by having this rescind function at the end of the cycle, it corrects that problem. So with a lot of things that Tony and Amy have discussed, it has helped make DR more transparent and hopefully more in conformity with the rules. I understand that, you know, you're not supposed to be designing DR, and I don't ask for solutions. It would just be nice to know the concerns, such as, you know, we have a concern that you're vetting the recipients. We don't like that. We should, you know, you might want to consider the process by which you do not vet at all. And that's a very helpful suggestion and voicing of a concern, which I would love to hear of any more that might be out there.
Yes, Madam Chair.
Commissioner Goodman.
Mr. Cashman, Lee Goodman, I don't understand either draft to take issue with the fact that Democracy Rules vets candidates and matches citizens' interests in issues or philosophies with certain candidates that may reflect that. That vetting process has been approved by the commission in numerous advisory opinions. Skimmer Hat had a matching survey where a user answered several questions asked by Skimmer Hat. Skimmer Hat then took the survey into its offices and helped match you, vetted candidates who might match your interests. CrowdPack today, which is online. You can go online and using any number of criteria that are unique to you, you can identify issues. The other day I did, and I just clicked on, I put in no philosophical filters or geographic filters or political party filters. I just clicked on one issue of interest to me, student loans. And through its algorithm, which we all know is a composite of subjective and objective programming factors, a congressman in New Jersey popped up as the number one recommended person for me to give. So the algorithm vetted Congressman Lobiondo who might be of interest to me on that issue. So I don't understand either draft to take issue with the fact that there will be a vetting and recommendation process by Democracy Rules. The problem I read on page 7 of draft C is that thereafter, the transmittal service that Democracy Rules offers will transmit contributions solely to those, that universe of recommended candidates that was developed through your vetting process, and does not offer to transmit contributions upon request by members to any federal candidate. That was the primary distinction highlighted in Draft C. The vetting process, I think, is inherent in all the services the commission has approved.
Right.
Okay. There is a request on the table to postpone the hearing on this matter until the September meeting. Do we want to take a vote or discussion? Without objection?
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Is that fine? Mm-hmm. Is there any objection? No. There being no objection to that, I'm asking OGC to work with Mr. Cashman to get the appropriate extensions and the like.
We'll do that.
Thank you very much.
Let me, as a matter of policy, I'd like to make a record that if there are communications between the Office of General Counsel and the requester, that they be made in writing and all the commissioners get a copy. I think that would be appropriate at this point.
We generally speak with the requesters on the phone and in writing. Commissioner, are you suggesting that we, just for this request, given that it's posture, that we keep commissioners advised of those communications?
Well, I think generally we and the public who get a chance to comment need to have disclosure as to what communications are taking place with the requester. And I think if it's in writing, it's better than if it's not.
Right. When we reach... I'm sorry.
I would say that perhaps with respect to this matter, because of, you know, the communications, that maybe we could at least now, without having a further discussion about other matters as well, that we could ask that if you do have communications with Mr. Cashman, that you advise us so that we understand what kind of questions are at play.
We certainly will, and also as we did after the last meeting, if it gets to the point where there's something formal that needs to be memorialized, not only do we do that in writing, but it becomes part of the public record like we did with the supplement after the last meeting.
Well, I think the communications that take place before we have the hearing are the most important for the commissioners to see what the back and forth was. And if there's a back and forth in writing and we get a chance to read it and discuss it with other commissioners, it helps the process. That's the reason.
Commissioner, would you want to be included in our communications?
Thank you, Mr. Cashman.
That's really anything you have to offer. But this is a negotiating process generally. You should be working. If any contact should be directly with the Office of General Counsel.
I would like to be clear that Both Amy and Tony have not given me any type of direction or instruction. When I thought about this rescind feature, this buyer's remorse feature, that was not suggested to me, and I did appraise Tony and Amy as to what I had intended to do, but, there are always... the most common phrase is, well, we can't answer that question on the telephone to me. So I just want to make it clear that, it's all coming from me.
Thank you, Mr. Cashman. So this matter will be heard in the meeting in September. And, Adav, don't just say we can't answer the questions to us every time. Then, no. We want to see those communications. Thank you. All right. The next item on the agenda is item number 3. It's
the conference is now in talk mode.
It's a draft advisory opinion 2015-05, Shaber. We have Esther Jory and Amy Rothstein from the Office of General Counsel here to discuss the matter. Thank you. Welcome, Ms. Jory. Do you have a presentation?
Yes, I do. Thank you, Chair Ravel. And I also believe that the requester's counsel in this matter is also on the phone available.
Good morning, Madam Chair and Commissioners. This is Michelle Lauer representing Alexina Shaver, the trustee in this matter.
Good morning, Ms. Lauer. Welcome, Ms. Jury.
Thank you, Chair Ravel. Good morning, Commissioners. Before you is Agenda Document 15-44-A, a draft advisory opinion in response to an advisory opinion request from Ms. Alexina Shaber. The requester, Ms. Shaber, is the trustee of a trust established by Joseph Shaber, who is deceased. The trust directs the trustee to distribute to the Libertarian National Committee upon the settler's death a specific gift and a percentage of the trust estate. Currently, approximately $191,600 of the total bequest remains to be distributed to the committee. The requester asks whether she may engage an independent third-party escrow agent to receive the funds designated for the committee under the trust. The escrow agent would disburse annually to the committee's general account the maximum amount permissible under the Act. The draft advisory opinion concludes that the proposed activity is permissible because the committee will have no control over the funds maintained in the escrow account. We did not receive any comments on the request or on the draft. If the commission votes to approve the draft, we ask for the authority to make any necessary technical and conforming changes. Thank you. I would be happy to address any questions that you have.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions, comments? Hearing none, is there a motion? Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move approval in our consideration of draft advisory opinion 2015-05 that we approve draft A, which is set forth in agenda document number 15-44-A, and authorize the Office of General Counsel to make any technical and conforming edits that may be necessary.
Thank you. Do you have that motion, Madam Secretary?
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there questions or comments? Hearing none, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Did you vote?
No. You didn't say
no. Sorry.
I gave a message that I was going to object to the record today.
I'm sorry. All those saying no, voting no, please?
No.
Okay. Madam Secretary, the matter passes 4-1 with Commissioner Goodman, Hunter, Vice Chair Peterson, and Chair Ravel voting yes, and Commissioner Walther voting no. Thank you. Thank you very much, Ms. Jury. With respect to the next two items, which relate to information sharing and document sharing, there's been a request by commissioners to postpone item 5, public disclosure on closed enforcement files, to the September meeting. And so, without objection, that matter will be continued to September. So the next item is item number 4, a memorandum from Commissioner Goodman entitled Notice to Respondents of Information Sharing by the Commission. It's agenda document number 15-26-A. Is there any discussion of this matter?
Yes.
Commissioner Goodman.
Yes, Madam Chair. We've discussed this previously. This proposal merely alerts respondents and people who are requested to participate in our legal enforcement process of the importance, responsibilities, and legal consequences of providing the commission information. And it merely takes a policy that the commission has previously approved and published in the Federal Register and places it front and center to potentially lay respondents so that they're aware of those legal implications of their participation in our process. And so, without belaboring it any further, I move that the Commission approve agenda document number 15-26-A, Notice to Respondents of Information Sharing by the Commission, with the following edits to the language to be included in an initial letter to respondents. The first sentence will be moved to a footnote at the end of the second sentence, and the phrase can and does in the second sentence will be changed to the word may. Accordingly, the following language shall be included in all letters providing initial notice of a complaint or internally generated referral, or providing initial notice that the Commission has made a reasonably finding. And that language is, please be advised that although the Commission cannot disclose information regarding an investigation to the public, it may share information on a confidential basis with other law enforcement agencies. That sentence shall conclude with a footnote, and the text of the footnote shall state the following. The Commission has the statutory authority to refer knowing and willful violations of the FECA to the Department of Justice for potential criminal prosecution, 52 U.S.C., Section 30109A5C, and to report information regarding violations of law not within its jurisdiction to appropriate law enforcement authorities, concluding with the cite 52 U.S.C. 30107A9. Madam Secretary, this is identical to the motion made at the previous meeting.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Goodman. Commissioner Goodman, are there any other comments or questions? Commissioner Walther.
I'm going to support the motion. I think it's fair to do this because we already announced it in our E&J, and we already automatically give it to somebody who's filed sua sponte. So I think in fairness and to the procedurally to everyone, everybody's entitled to the same notice, rather than just those that file sua sponte and those that happen to get a notice in the mail that we're taking a look at their conduct. So I know that there's been some opposition to this because of the view that we very seldom do it, and it's kind of a excessive scare, perhaps, to somebody who might get that language included in a notice. But I think, in fairness, the notice is better early than later if it becomes a problem. So I'm going to support it.
Any other comments? Well, I am not going to support this in some ways for some of the reasons described by Commissioner Walther. Commissioner Goodman said this is putting this matter front and center, and it's letting people know about their legal implications. Well, I think both of those things are true, and both of them are in some ways problematic because putting it front and center indicates that it has greater import than many other legal implications that people are subjected to that we're not going to put front and center, thereby isolating it out as something that is incredibly significant. When in fact, as has been reported on by one of our esteemed reporters who follows the FEC, this is done with incredible rarity and will unnecessarily chill people's willingness to cooperate in what might be a very inconsequential and definitely not knowing and willful or criminal case involving the Commission. So for those reasons, I will oppose this proposal. Are there any other comments? Hearing none, is there a motion?
The motion is on the floor.
Oh, of course. It's on the floor. Sorry. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Okay. All those opposed? No. Madam Secretary, that motion passes by a vote of 4-1 with Commissioner Goodman, Walther, Hunter, and Vice Chair Peterson voting yes, and Commissioner Ravel voting no. The next item has been continued, and we are now to the significant matter of the day, item number 6. And you are not Mr. Staff Director. You are Ms. Acting in the place of Staff Director Shikona. Are there any management or administrative?
Ma'am, I'm sorry. I do have one point of personal privilege before we conclude.
Oh, of course.
I have an announcement to make, and that is that my long and trusted advisor, Gary Lukowski, will be departing the commission in about a week and a half. And I have appreciated his thoughtful and logical counsel, his very wise counsel. He served Commissioner McGann quite ably, and he's a young man who learned very fast and understands the nuances of what we do and the logic of what we do as well as anyone I have ever seen in this business for 20-some years. So he has great potential in this field. He's going to be going in-house to a organization called Freedom Partners Chamber of Commerce to help them comply with the laws that apply to their nonprofit and political and ideological advocacy and work. And so if you, I know he's going to be taking off next week, so if anyone wants to speak to Gary before he leaves, you got to get him before the before this Friday.
Well, thank you very much for letting us know. And Gary, it's been a great pleasure to work with you, and we're going to miss you. We're going to miss you. Ms. Ciccone, this is your moment. Are there any management or administrative matters the Commission needs to discuss today?
Madam Chair, there are none.
All right. Thank you very much. This meeting stands adjourned.